let me just introduce and present my wife Diane and my father, who's been my father all of my life. And I say that because there is meaning in that, that there's never been a time when I didn't have a father. Thank you for being here. For my entire family, my friends, thank you for being here. Yeah. And our whip until 12 noon came late. He was at they had a prayer meeting earlier today, and he was there praying for me. Thank you, Mr. Whip. This is truly a great moment in the 40-year history of the Congressional Black Caucus. And to my colleagues, I must say I am humbled that you have chosen me to lead as the 22nd chair of this great body during such a time as this. Thank you all for being here this morning and reaffirming your support for the work of the CBC and celebrating the legacy during this historic swearing-in ceremony. Standing before this vast number here today, we, the Congressional Black Caucus of the 112th Congress of the United States of America, are inspired and filled with robust hunger to defend the advances made by those who so ably and vigorously toiled in these hallowed halls long before most of us arrived. They ran the race, and that race is continuing in us. What a company. Their names set any African-American heart to beating faster. Conyers, Rangel, Stokes, Mitchell, Chisholm, Jordan, Clay, Hawkins, Nix, Metcalf, Collins, Diggs, and Fauntleroy. These are the heroes of our political history. Mr. Chairman and Mr. Chairman, thank you so much. They were courtiers who practiced statecraft at a level which brought about socio-political change that laid the foundation to make the promise of America the practice of America. And we will devotedly and unwaveringly follow their example of bold and prophetic work. As the incoming chair of the CBC, there is great hope that I will, as every chair before me, move forward the uncompromised agenda of this body. To the chairs whom I've observed since my election to Congress a mere 6 years ago, Elijah Cummings, Mel Watt, Carolyn Cheeks Kilpatrick, and my tutor, Oakland, California's Barbara Lee, please know that I will not allow pride to prevent me from imitating the best of what I have seen in each of you. When I consider the vastness of the challenge ahead, I can't help but chant the prayer of the old Breton fisherman when he took his little craft up on the ocean. He prayed, "Oh my God, my boat is so small and the sea is so great." Nevertheless, all anxiety is cast away by the flame from the lamps of my 42 colleagues. We're at a critical point in this nation's history, but as African Americans, we lived the bitterness of slavery and oppression, held on to the hopes of progress, and for generations reached for and, in countless cases, achieved the American dream. Today, the CBC declares with the songwriter, "We ain't no ways tired." From the chains of slavery across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma and to the highest office in the land, We've climbed the great ladder of equality and advancement. Yet, there is more work to be done. For the past 40 years, the Congressional Black Caucus has continued to fight the good fight. The CBC has been involved in a myriad of legislative initiatives, ranging from full employment to welfare reform, South African apartheid, and international human rights, from minority business development to expanded educational opportunity. It's always been our mission as a caucus to preserve a national commitment to fair treatment for urban and rural America, the elderly, students, small business, middle and low-income families, and the economically disadvantaged, to give voice to the voiceless. 40 years since our founding, we have been successful in rising to strategic positions on congressional committees to affect change in federal policy, and now to the highest office within the nation. Can you believe it? One of the members of the Congressional Black Caucus now sits in the White House. And to say it in the words of the old preacher who wanted to use a big word to impress the congregation, he said, "We are hippopotamus proud." I stand before you today to tout our historic accomplishments and share a vision of what's to come. If we don't tell our story, who will? It's time we stand and declare who we are. The 11th Congress CBC members held 3 committee chairs and 18 subcommittee chairmanships. We are freedom fighters, justice seekers, equalizers, and pursuers of the American dream for all Americans, regardless of race, color, or creed. We stand for parity in economic opportunity for all Americans. We stand for equality in education. We stand for access to health care for all Americans. We stand for reclaiming the American dream for all. Strangely, there's a question raised by some in the media. In fact, this morning doing an interview with the chair of the Hispanic Caucus, it was the first question, and it will continue to be a question until we put a stop to it. And this is the question: is the Congressional Black Caucus relevant in this post-racial era? To that spectacular assertion, I must politely say, get real. The long and laborious march toward a society that puts down issues of race will eventually arrive at its destination. But today is not that day. To be sure, there will come a day when the people of this nation see other Americans from different backgrounds and different races with their hearts instead of their eyes. But today is not that day. When the day does arrive, and it surely will because it is near, when all Americans choose to discover new truths about each other, at long last, lingering prejudices will subside, and we will have a post-racial nation. But today is not that day. It is important that we obliterate the notion that we have reached race relations nirvana, because the failure to do so prevents us from engaging in the demanding but necessary work. Clearly, we've come a long way, but our work is far from over. We have so much more to accomplish before we sleep. To paraphrase the poet Robert Frost, we have miles and miles to go before we sleep, and miles to go before we sleep. Had we slept during the 111th Congress, there would not be a Section 342 to the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform Act, which created the Office of Minority and Women Inclusion in each federal financial service agency. 9 members of the Financial Services Committee, following our leader Maxine Waters, met in her kitchen and decided to stay together until we were successful in getting this true. Had we slept during the 11th Congress, there would be no Fair Sentencing Act, which reduced the disparity between crack and powder cocaine. Had we slept in the 111th Congress, African American and Native American farmers will still be waiting for the $4.6 billion that has been owed to them for over a decade. Had we slept during the 111th Congress, there would be no American Recovery and Reinvestment Act that injected $800 billion into our economy and helped families, small businesses, and our workforce recover during what most of us believe to have been a depression. Had we slept during the 111th Congress, there would be a major gap in funding for the historically black colleges and universities. Had we slept in the 111th Congress, the Pell Grant program would be just a pittance of what it is. Had we slept during the 111th Congress, there would be no health care reform. And this Congress, the Congressional Black Caucus, will continue the good fight. Why? Well, let me tell you this way. One day, I decided to go to our Sunday school to observe what was going on, because in the United Methodist Church, we are subject to a bishop. United Methodist Church, or Methodist churches and Catholic churches, have bishops that can appoint and disappoint. And so, in an attempt to protect my appointment, I thought I needed to make sure that our Sunday school was working fine. So I went into one of the teenage classrooms, and the teacher welcomed me. She said, "Pastor, come right in." And I said, "I'd like to ask some questions of the students." And she said, "Go right ahead." And I said, "Billy, who knocked down the Jericho Wall?" And he said, "Pastor, I didn't do it. I know I have a bad reputation. I know I have a bad reputation around the church, but I didn't do it." And then the teacher stood up and said, "Pastor, he's telling the truth. I watched him when he got off the bus. He came in. He just didn't do it." And I thought to myself, I've lost my appointment. This is going to be the end. So I called a meeting with the church officers immediately after the service, Reverend Rush. And I went in and I said, "We've got a crisis in the church. We've got to deal with it. And we've got to deal with it now." And I said, "Look, I went to the Sunday school class. I asked little Billy who knocked down the Jericho Wall. He denied it." And I said, "And worse still, the teacher came behind him and corroborated his statement." And so the chairman said, "Well, Pastor, whoever knocked it down, we'll pay for it." Well, my friends, the wall of protection of the unemployed is down. The wall of summer job security for young people is down. The wall of Middle East peace is down. The wall of disease is down. The wall of civil discourse is down. The wall of home ownership expecting 1 million foreclosures this year is down. The wall of separation between financial predators and the poor is down. But good news, we've got 42 wall builders standing ready to rebuild the wall. We don't care who knocked it down. We're going to rebuild the wall. Wall builders, the CBC, will rebuild the wall. Keep in mind, this is the only caucus that did not lose a single member in the last election. This is the only caucus that gained membership in the last election. These are wall builders. Are we relevant? The answer is yes. The Congressional Black Caucus will be relevant as long as we continue to have work in front of us. As long as the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, we're relevant. As long as our communities suffer a depression while the rest of the country talks about a recession, we're relevant. As long as the first recommendations presented by our caucus to President Nixon in March of 1971 have some relevancy to the state of our union, we're relevant. As millions continually call out to take their country back, the caucus stands ready to continue its relevant work of creating a nation for all Americans, black, white, rich, poor, old, young, and immigrants alike, a nation inclusive of all God's children. Sadly, the People's House has become a bitter, baleful, and venomous venue for unresolved squabbles over a superabundance of issues, which could determine the social and economic survival of our nation and perhaps the entire world. As a result of the coarse and offensive communication between members of Congress, we're having work that is much, much more difficult to address. Yet Congress at its worst demands a Congressional Black Caucus at its best. In this bewildering fog of political tribalism and instantaneous instigation by the media and a fact-free debate, the CBC will embrace its historic mission. Let the word go forth that the CBC did not come to Congress to make enemies. We came to make a difference. Our enemies are ignorance, bigotry, unemployment, needless war, and failure. It's clear that our time to stand up is now. Our time to reclaim the dream is now. We must lead the charge. We must continue on this great journey. And when all is said and done, the promise of America will no longer be just a promise. It will become the practice. Let me conclude by sharing with you, particularly with my father here. We had to go to church when I grew up. I come from a family of preachers. So on Saturday nights, we had to go to bed so we could go to church and stay all day. I'm just saying. But we could stay up on Friday nights, which was great, because at Friday night at 10:30, we had the Monster Mash. And that was the highlight of my week. There were 8 Cleaver kids, first cousins, and we tried to spend the night with each other every weekend. And so we get around that old black and white TV with rabbit ears, and they would start this horror movie, the most delicious films ever made. And my cousins, my 3 sisters, they would be afraid, they'd cover up when the monsters came, but I was there looking at the monsters directly, trying to see every bite. And then when some insensitive person drove a stake through the heart of Dracula, my sisters and my first cousins would run off to bed. But for me, the best was yet to come. I would move over in front of that old black and white television, and I would hear an announcer say, "We've come to the end of another day of broadcasting. Tune in tomorrow morning on Channel 6 when we will resume programming." And then my heart would begin to beat heavily. And then finally I would see it. A silver jet would fly through the clouds. Fleecy, soft, almost edible looking clouds. And then that just right and majestic string music would begin to play. And then a golden voice would be heard. "Oh, I've slipped the surly bonds of earth and danced the sky on laughter's silvered wings. Sunward I've climbed and joined the tumbling mirth of sun-split clouds and done 100 things you never dreamed of. I've wheeled and soared and swung high in the sunlit silence. Hovering there, I've chased the shouting winds along and flung my eager craft through footless halls of air. Up, up, up the long, delirious, burning blue, I've climbed the windswept heights where not a lark or even eagle flew. And with silent, lifting mind, I've trod the high, untrespassed sanctity of space. Put out my hand and touched the face of God." In 1941, an 18-year-old American-born Canadian pilot by the name of John Gillespie McGee was killed when his Spitfire crashed into another plane inside the clouds. But fortunately, a few months earlier, he had sent that poem back to his mother and father. It's called High Flight. High Flight. Over the next 2 years, the Congressional Black Caucus, as it has during the past 40, will be on a high flight. Your mission, should you accept, is to be with us, encourage us, nudge us, and sometimes even criticize us, because we dare to chase the shouting winds along. Thank you very kindly.
Ladies and gentlemen, the new leader of the caucus, Representative Emmanuel Cleaver there. I didn't make it to church last Sunday, but I don't...